Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday are rambling about those Los Angeles Rams. Ramble on. Hi, how are ya? Welcome to another episode of Ramblings with Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday. I am Doc Holliday. Isaac Bruce is not here. He's tied up, taking care of some business. Can you imagine that? A Pro Football Hall of Famer, a legend, busy taking care of business. The nerve of him. But seriously, Isaac is a busy man, but he'll be back for the next episode. Now, unlike when Isaac was a part of the Rams' greatest show on turf, when, if he missed the game, the Rams still had Torrey Hope, Oz Akeem, or Marshall Faulk take up the slack. I don't have that option. I'll ride this thing solo today, but fortunately, this should be a pretty easy show because the Rams have a pretty easy opponent this week. The 0-3 New York Giants. The Giants are coming into SoFi Stadium with nary a win, and they're facing a Rams team that lost last week in New York at Buffalo. So they'll be glad to get another shot at the state of New York, the Rams, losing their first game of the season last Sunday when the Bills got us. 35-32, we lost that game, but we showed some guts and grit and some championship. Come on now. Y'all know I don't curse, even though that rhymes. I ain't finna curse. We came back to take the lead in the fourth quarter despite being down 25 points after playing a horrible first half. Probably would have won if it wasn't for a horrible pass interference call on Darius Williams late in the game on the 4th-and-7. They gave Buffalo the ball inside the 5 when they scored the game-winning touchdown with 15 seconds left to give us and send us home with an L. But thankfully, we are back home this week and playing the New York Giants. And to be honest, the Giants are probably the worst team in the NFL. The only team that may be worse than the Giants is the New York Jets. The Jets are 0-4. They just lost to Denver Thursday night. The only reason the Jets' record is worse than the Giants is because the Giants haven't played this week yet. Let's take a look at what the Giants are bringing to SoFi Stadium. And when I say nothing much at all, as I said, the Giants coming to town 0-3 last week, they got destroyed by another NFC West team, the 49ers, 36-9. And the Giants just don't look good, man. We can look at the roster, and you really can't name anybody on their squad. Saquon Barkley, unfortunately, tore his ACL in week 2, say that, so they don't have him. He was really their biggest offensive threat and their best player, but without Saquon Barkley, well, with Saquon Barkley, the Giants were going to have a rough season anyway, but without Saquon Barkley, the Giants really not talking about much of anything, man. Now, they come in, like I said, after losing to San Francisco 36-9, just look at their record so far. So far, they got blasted by the 49ers. They lost to the Bears 17-13, and they lost to the Steelers 26-16. And as far as that's concerned, and the reason why they're losing is, like I said, man, they're just not very good at all. Their quarterback, Daniel Jones, the dude who replaced Eli Manning, the dude who really caused Eli Manning to go into retirement because they chose Daniel Jones over Eli Manning. They're ready to push Manning out the door, and they pushed him out the door. And what did they get? Daniel Jones, man, so far, dude has thrown for 699 yards this season. His 233 yards a game is 22nd in the NFL. And he doesn't throw many touchdowns, man. Through 3 games, Jones has only thrown 2 touchdowns. And check this out, he's been picked 4 times. His completion percentage, just 60%. So he's just not playing very good football at all. At all. But the biggest thing I look at, Jones has been sacked 9 times so far in 3 games. So you know what that means? Brethren, you got guys like Aaron Donald you got to face this week, man. And they've already given up 9 sacks to Daniel Jones so far this season. And now you're facing Aaron Donald. And we know the things Aaron Donald can do, man. So it's going to be tough for Daniel Jones and the rest of that Giants offense and their Giants defense. But the thing about the Giants defense actually hasn't been playing that badly this season. It's just the offense just is horrible. Daniel Jones, the Giants' leading passer, of course, because he's a starting quarterback. 699 yards, as I said, 2 touchdowns, 4 picks. But Daniel Jones is also their leading rusher. He has 92 yards rushing so far, 0 touchdowns on the ground. But think about that. Their quarterback is their leading rusher with 92 yards rushing. Now, of course, they were counting on Saquon Barkley to do a lot this season, but as I just said, he's out with an ACL, so he won't be back this season. Now, they did just sign Devontae Freeman back on, I think, September 23rd, but he played one game, and that was last week against the 49ers, and I think Freeman had, 10 yards, I think, on 5 carries. Yeah, 10 yards on 5 carries, so he didn't really have much of an impact at all in his first game with the Giants, but, you know, he was pretty effective with the Falcons until they let him go. I think he played with Atlanta for about 6 years. So, you know, he was pretty effective with the Falcons, but they saw something that they didn't see anymore, and so they let him go. And they picked him up hoping to help their rushing attack, but Freeman didn't do much of helping their rushing attack in his first game playing with them last week when they got destroyed by San Francisco. But this is just one of those ball games, man, just plain and simple. But this should be an easy win for us. Easy. But at the same time, you can't come into a game like this and look at the team and look at the team's record and be like, okay, should be an easy win for us, because the other team still has professional football players. And there is a such thing as taking teams lightly. I've played on squads before where you take a team lightly and the team is horrible and they absolutely kick your butt. But I really don't see that happening with our Rams this week, because they've been playing so well so far in these first 3 weeks, man, even though we lost and then we're now 2-1. And despite that 2-1 record, that 2-1 record still looks pretty good, because as we said, man, they played Buffalo, got behind in that first half. And if we could really just throw that first half out, we would have been good, because second half, we straight dominated Buffalo. Buffalo can say what they want, but we made some adjustments, came out in the second half with more intensity, more focus. And, you know, our Rams, they even say in that first half they were missing tackles, missing assignments, really just wasn't focused, really wasn't into the game mentally for whatever reason. And that can happen. You know, that was their second week going across country, going from the West Coast to the East Coast. The week before, they went and did the same thing and beat the brakes off Philadelphia, crushed them 37-19. So we fly back home. Then the next week, you got to go back and do the same thing, go to Buffalo, out east in New York, came out dead flat, and ended up coming out with our first loss of the season. But despite that loss, we're still balling, man. Jared Goff still playing extremely well. He's leading this Rams offense right now. Offense, we're averaging 449 yards a game. Guess what that ranks in the NFL? Third. So we balling, man. Goff is averaging 279 yards passing a game. He's seventh in the league, and we're averaging 29 points per game. So we're putting up some points. Now, when you look at the Rams, offense and compare that to the Giants' offense, man, it ain't even close. Our Rams' offense, so much more explosive, so much better than what the Giants have been doing. And we're third in the NFL in offense. Giants ranked 31st in offense. 272 yards of total offense, man. Well, they're averaging 272 yards a game in offense. We're almost averaging 200 more yards per game on offense than them. We talked about Daniel Jones and his struggles, man, and his lack of good play. Just 2 touchdowns, been picked off 4 times, been sacked 9 times. He's throwing for 215 yards a game. 26th best in the NFL, and there's only 32 teams, so it's pretty horrible. But check this out, though. They can't score. The Giants cannot score the ball, but if you can't move the ball, if your offense is horrible, of course you can't score the ball. New York is only averaging 12 points per game. Check that out now. 12 points per game. Think about that. 12 points per game. The Giants are the second to last, the next to last worst team in scoring and yards, ranked 31st. But they've only scored 3 touchdowns this season. Now, that is worst in the NFL. And they don't do a good job of taking care of the football either. They tied with the Vikings and Redskins for second most turnovers in the NFL with 7. So as we say, man, New York coming in, just they suck. Point blank, period. They suck. They're not playing well. And we are playing well. And we're coming off a loss. So not only should we come into the game more focused, upset, pissed off, whatever you want to say, but we're back home. And that's always good, man, to be back home in La La Land, Inglewood, and SoFi Stadium, at their beautiful stadium, even though no fans can be in there. But just being back at the crib after having go across country for the last 2 weeks, they got to be happy about that. I know they're happy about that. And when we just look at the matchup of this football game, as I say, our offense, 3rd in the NFL, averaging 449 yards a game. But you know what? That Giants defense is not pretty bad. It's pretty good. We're averaging 449 yards a game. That Giants defense is only giving up 357 yards a game. Now, they do give up 26 points a game, which is good because, you know, we rocking. We scoring. But the Giants defense is not as bad as the offense. The Giants defense is not as bad as how the team looks. Now, they do have a killer on their squad. Dude named Blake Martinez. When I say he's a killer, he's a baller. He's balling. He's playing extremely well this year. He is literally, easily, their best defender. He has 30 tackles. That's tied for 3rd in the league. So you got to keep an eye on him, man. Blake Martinez is one of those dudes. You just got to know where he is. He has 5 tackles for loss, which is 1st in the league. He also has 2 sacks. So we got to account for him. But once you account for him, man, you should be pretty much able to do whatever you want to do with that defense, because our offense is just that good. And not only that, you know, we talk about how Jared Goff has been playing. And I said it before and I said it again, man. Dude looks like the Jared Goff from a couple of years ago when we went to the Super Bowl. I mean, the way he's commanding the offense. And it's not just his command of the offense. It's just the confidence that he plays with. He just seems like he plays like he knows he's the best player on the field. He plays like he knows he's the best quarterback on the field. And that's something we have to be happy about and have to be encouraged about, because this is the Jared Goff we wanted to see, and this is the Jared Goff we need. Because with this Jared Goff, we can go to the Super Bowl. Not only that, we can win the Super Bowl. Now, we do need the defense to play a lot better than what they've been playing. And we talk about Aaron Donald a lot. He's a killer. He's a baller. Can't beat what he's doing, man. I mean, he's just absolute destroying cats, but he does what he does, and we know he's going to do what he does. But we got other dudes, you know, Leonard Floyd on that defense, Micah Kizer. He's playing extremely well, but we got to stop giving up so many points, man. We got to. We're giving up 23 points a game. That's 3 touchdowns. We're giving up 253 yards passing a game, 119 yards rushing a game. We can do better right there. And giving up 23 points a game, we can do a lot better right there. But giving up big plays in horrible situations like we did at Buffalo, man, 3rd and 22, come on. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. But I think the Rams defense, they know they got to play better. They got a new defense coordinator, so new scheme. Sometimes you have some growing pains. But fortunately, our growing pains have come in the midst of us still winning games. Now, we lost one, but our growing pains have come, and we're still 2-1. So the defense isn't playing horribly. They can play a lot better. But the fact that we're still 2-1, knowing that the defense is probably going to get better and going to play better, That's something that we have to look for, be happy about and have to look forward to. And another thing we can look forward to and be happy about is may have found us a workhorse in that backfield. Darrell Henderson balled out last game. First 100-yard game of his short NFL career. And what I liked about what Darrell is doing is just his explosiveness. See, it's one thing when a running back sees the hole. An offensive line been doing a great job of making holes. But when a running back sees the hole and you're able to get to the hole before it closes, that's a whole nother situation. Because trust me, in the NFL, when them holes open up, you really got to be going toward the line of scrimmage before the hole opens up because it closes that fast. You got to have that instinct. But the thing about it, watching what Darrell did against Buffalo on Sunday, the offensive line made some huge holes. And Darrell was able to see the hole as he was going toward the line of scrimmage and get through the hole. And I like that speed and that explosiveness and that quickness that he's shown. Not only that, running tough, because Darrell will run you over. I mean, he's short, he's thick, he's from Mississippi. They make him thick down there. Trust me, I'm from Memphis, so I know. I've been all around Mississippi. My family's from Mississippi, so I know how they're made. They're tough. And Darrell is thick and strong, fast, doing a lot better in the passing game, picking up blitzes and catching the ball. So really, really encouraged how Darrell is playing, man, to go with Jared Goff. So we knew that Darrell had the potential of being a threat. Now we know what he can do. He's balling. And I expect him to have a big game this week because, you know, New York coming in, they're giving up 123 rushing yards a game. So if we give Darrell the opportunities, he can easily have another 100-yard game because that offensive line, hey, man, I can't say enough about them. They're playing well. Lost a starter, plugged somebody in, they're still balling, still playing well. They've done a good job of protecting Jared Goff so far. So I'm looking forward to this game, looking forward to us bouncing back, getting us another W. I'm looking for the Rams to continue that dominant play. Because when you got Darrell to go with all the other weapons we have on offense, man. I mean, we can keep talking about it, but it's the fact of the matter. Cooper Kupp balling out, our leading receiver, but we're not surprised about that. 228 yards and a touchy through three games. Robert Woods right behind him, I think around 195 yards receiving or something like that. So both of them are up there. You know we got Tyler Higbee, but we got all kinds of people we can give the ball to. But I think one person we may not be giving the ball to this week is Cam Akers. He'll probably sit out again, I think, with ribs. He didn't play against Buffalo because he had a rib injury, and you really don't need to rush him back against New York. No need to do that against the Giants this week because they suck. So we should be able to make it through this game with the W and without having one of our young weapons, one of our young guns, and Cam Akers. Now, I talk about the Giants and I talk about the offense. And as I said, you know, their defense is pretty good. When you look at, you know, some of their best defenders, as we said, Martinez balling, running around everywhere, tackling. And I think dude only missed like two tackles or something this season or something like that. So once he puts his hands on you, you coming down. But, you know, defensive end Leonard Williams, he has 10-2 sacks, so you have to watch him. And other cats, you know, Lorenzo Carter, Dexter Lawrence, some other guys, James Bradbury, cornerback you got to watch out for. But it's really all about us. The Giants got to watch out for us. We can sit here and scout report them. We can sit here and say their stats. And it is what it is, man. But New York coming to SoFi, they got to watch out for us. Because if we break it down, their quarterback against our quarterback easily better, man. Ain't even close. But just for the sake of conversation, Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, man, they ain't even close, man. Daniel Jones got a long way to go. Daniel Jones got to prove that he's an NFL quarterback. Right now, he's playing about as bad as Sam Darnold in both of them in New York. Those two New York teams, man. And another thing, New York coming in here, dealing with us, another NFC East team. We already smacked the hell out of two NFC East teams this year, Cowboys in week one. Philadelphia in week two. Now we got another NFC East team, the worst NFC East team, the Giants. But they got to see us, man. And I'm extremely optimistic that we will get a W this week because I think we're really that good. I know we're really that good. And we haven't even played a complete game yet, like offense and defense, special teams all clicking and playing well. You know, we've had some problems on special teams. So when we shore up all of that, and I hate the word shore because that's such a cliche and everybody says shore up. But when we improve in all those areas and we have the special teams playing well and Slobin giving us some confidence, because we got to be confident when you hit the field, bro. We can't be worried about if you're going to hit the exit point, if you're going to hit the field goal. We don't want to be living like that. So when we get Slobin, if we can get Slobin to be, you know, more accountable, dependable, we don't be worried about that. Do a better job in the punt return. You know, Cooper Kupp returning punts for us this year, and I don't think he returned punts at all in college, but they made the decision to put him back there to return punts. And let me tell y'all something, people. When you criticize a punt returner, look, man, that's a hard job. Seriously, though. I mean, I don't think people understand how fast cats in the NFL move. I remember before I played my first NFL game, I used to stand on the sideline, or I used to watch it. And you watch it, you be like, man, a play lasts about 2 or 3 seconds, and it's over with. It don't look that violent till your ass get out there. Man, them cats rolling. Them cats balling. And I still always think, I always say this because this is one of my most vivid memories. This was a preseason game against the Kansas City Chiefs in 1996. It was a pass play. Jamie Martin was the quarterback. I was supposed to block the defensive end, but I admit I wanted to rock. I didn't miss him on purpose, but I didn't get him. So when I got him, I knew Jamie was going to be rushed. So he was rushed. He dumped me the ball. I caught it. When I turned around, it was really like nobody near me for seriously like 20 yards other than the defensive linemen that were behind me. But I'm faster than them. So in college, I probably would have picked up about 25, 30 yards. But this play, nah. Got about 10, 12 yards down the field, and everybody was there. The defensive linemen who I thought were cutting on the ground, they had caught me. The free safeties and the cornerbacks had came off their men, they had caught me. So that's just how fast these dudes move, man. It's just a speed that you don't understand and you can't comprehend unless you're out there. And I go back watching Cooper Kupp and watching punt returners, man. When y'all see a good punt returner or a great punt returner, you need to clap for him. Because that's got to be a scary situation. Because when that punter punched that ball and it goes high in the air and your head has to go up and you got to take your eyes off these 11 dudes, well, these 10 dudes, because we ain't going to count the punter. We ain't gonna need to count the snapper either because they don't really be talking about nothing. But some snappers, it will smack you. But anyway, you got these 10 dudes running down and you know how fast they are. So in your head, you got a little clock. So you got to make a decision. Do I fair catch this? Or do I catch it and try to make something happen? Are they on me? Is the ball kicked low? Is it kicked so high? How many seconds? I mean, look. So the punt return, that's got to be one of the scariest jobs on the football field if you just decide to take the punt back. Or you may decide to fair catch it, but that still don't mean you're going to get smacked upside the head because some dudes hit you anyway. So I can understand Cooper Kupp struggles right now, trying to gauge which ones to catch, trying to hold on to it, which ones to catch, which ones to let go over my head. So I feel where he's coming from in that because it's not easy. But if we can get all that together and clicking, special teams, offense keep doing what they're doing, keep doing a great job, offensive line keep doing a great job of making those holes and those running lanes for Darrell Henderson and these running backs to run through, keep doing a great job of protecting Jared Goff, keeping him off the ground, keeping him not sacked, giving him a clean pocket. We keep doing a good job on offense, man, of doing our play action and our misdirects and keeping defenses off balance because that's a good thing. That's a great thing that we've been doing. Sean McVay, Jared Goff been doing a great job of keeping defenses off balance, moving quickly, playing quickly, making the right decisions with Jared. We can keep doing that and get our defense – to finally, you know, just come together and have a great showing and play together and gel with that chemistry. Oh man, if we get all three phases of the football of our football team playing well, we're one of the best teams in the league. I mean, we're one of the best teams in the league right now because every week we can beat anybody. It just depends on if we come play for an entire four quarters, which we have, which we did the first two games. And just, you know, we took the first half off against Buffalo. But throw that out the window. The last two quarters, that second half, man, balling. Balling. If we can do that every week and get a couple of good breaks, because every great team still needs some great breaks, some good breaks. Be a great season for us. But we got the advantage in every position here on Sunday. Our quarterback's better than their quarterback. Our running game's easily better than their running game. Our offensive line, easily better than their offensive line. Their offensive line's horrible. They've allowed that dude to be sacked 9 times. Come on, man. He got to be mad about that. He probably scared every time he dropped back for a pass because he don't know if he finna get hit in the mouth. And he's already struggling, making the right decisions, making reads, completing passes. Now, he does have a weapon, a threat, though. Darius Slayton, I mean, dude, pretty good. Wide receiver Darius Slayton, he's pretty good. He has 2 touchdowns through 3 games, 188 yards receiving, so you got to watch him. But Daniel Jones got to be nervous as heck, man. But like I said, our quarterback's better than theirs. Running back's better than yours. Offensive line, better than yours. Tight ends, better than y'all's. Even though Evan Ingram is pretty good, but he ain't got nobody throwing the ball. Hell, Daniel Jones can't get it to him. He ain't got time. And even if he did, he ain't accurate. I think his longest pass play this season is maybe 41 yards or something like that. So it ain't like he gunslinging. Now, our defensive line better than theirs. Linebacker. Like I said, they have Blake Martinez. It's 30 tackles, but. He moving around. You got to watch him. But Micah, he's our leading tackler. He has 26 tackles, tied for 6 in the league. So, you know, pretty even right there. DBs, I ain't even close, man. You know, we got Jalen Ramsey. We ain't got to talk about nobody else. We got Jalen Ramsey. They don't have Jalen Ramsey. They don't have a Jalen Ramsey. But that defense isn't as horrible as the offense. But that defense isn't the defense of an 0-3 team. But still, you're still giving up 26 points a game, almost 4 touchdowns a game. That ain't that good. So we got them beat on offense. We got them beat on defense. The linebackers' units, their linebacker unit, our linebacker unit is pretty much a push. But everywhere else, we got the advantage. Coaching. Easily got the advantage. Joe Judge, I don't know what's up. I knew this dude was going to have problems when they was talking about him in training camp, talking about he started practice over. I'm about to do that in the NFL, man, starting practice over. This ain't college. And the thing about them old former Patriots assistants, man, they get these head coaching jobs, and they try to go into these jobs like they are Bill Belichick. You got to earn the respect of players, man. I don't care who you are. Bill Belichick will have to earn his respect, but he has earned his respect. But if Bill Belichick were to leave New England and go coach somewhere else, he would have to earn those dudes' respect. They would be like, okay, that's good what you did in New England, but what about here? How you going to deal with us? But those New England assistants, man, like Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, dudes like that, it's like Bill O'Brien, come on, bro. Y'all take these jobs and go, man, like these grown men supposed to automatically respect y'all, man, and listen to what y'all saying because y'all came from New England. They don't know nothing about you. They don't know what your philosophies are. They don't know how you treat players. They don't know if you have proper respect for players. And say what you want to say, man. You can't be just screaming at grown men. Millionaires at that. Some of them hit $300,000, $400,000 a week. Come on, man. Them dudes not hearing that crap. So I ain't a Giants fan, but I'm pretty much glad that Joe Judge is getting what he deserves so far. And I hope we really give him what he deserves on Sunday, another W. Hope we put 47 points on them. And I think we can put 47 points on them. I'm confident we're going to put a dub on them. A dub for us and an L for them. Because the matchup, as I said, man, not close. Quality of coaching, not coach. Sean McVay got them. Easily. Our players are better. Our team is better. Our stadium is better. The city is better. The cities are better. Our uniforms are better. Everything is better. Our shows are better. Our food is better. Everything is better. But we shall see. And I'm looking forward to it. Our 2-1 Rams versus the 0-3 Giants. And I predict that we'll leave this week 3-1. And they'll leave this week 0-4 so they can look just like the other New York team. They can be twins, identical twins, 0-4 twins. And we'll be 3-1, still sitting pretty in the NFC West, which it turns out it's a pretty good NFC West. So we shall see. We shall see. And we shall see you all, at least hear you all, or you all hear us, hopefully. You subscribing and listening and sharing this podcast, Ramblings, with Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday. That's going to do it for this episode of Ramblings. My brother will be back next episode. Isaac Bruce, take care of business, man. Miss you, brethren. We'll see him Monday, hear from him Monday, and you'll hear from me Monday, God willing. Until next week, we out.